Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, just for a few verses, and then a few verses in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want us to go back, if you like, to basics tonight, and I want us to consider just a little of what the Bible has to say about becoming a Christian. And so we're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 42. It says, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." And then we'll go to chapter 5, down to verse 12. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. The passage, or the few verses that we have just taken time to read, both in chapter 4 and then over in chapter 5, it is clear that the Lord Jesus is spending his time moving from town to town in Judea. He's been preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, and the word about him has been spreading. And so, as he reaches one of those particular towns, he encounters a man who is covered with leprosy. The text gives the idea of him being completely taken over with leprosy, or full of leprosy. And so this man was not only suffering from an awful, dreaded disease, but from a very bad case of this disease, a disease that was as painful as it was loathsome. And it carried with it a stigma, because anyone with leprosy was not allowed to live in the community. They had to live isolated from others. They were forced, as I'm sure many of you know, to call out, "unclean, unclean," in order to give the people around them an awareness that they were coming, and to stay away, so that no one would inadvertently be contaminated by them. And so, if you like, this leper that we have read about tonight knew nothing of normal life or normal family life. He certainly did not enjoy the company of normal friends, and he did not and he was not allowed the privileges of employment. And so this man that the Lord Jesus meets here, we could describe him, if you like, as a dead man walking, a man who is a prisoner of his own skin. And yet he knows what he needs. He needs to be cleansed, and he needs to be cured. Presumably the news of the Lord Jesus had begun to spread, preceding his arrival in this particular town. And I'm sure the news of an itinerant preacher coming and declaring a story of freedom for prisoners and of good news to the poor, it would have caused quite a stir in the community. And I'm sure it grabbed the attention of this particular leper, because after all, he was a prisoner of his own circumstances. He was, if you like, impoverished as a result of this dreaded disease that he bore. And it's therefore no wonder that when he comes face to face with Jesus, Luke tells us that he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him to cleanse him. You know, the phraseology, if you like, makes it clear that this man, this leper, was convinced that the Lord Jesus had the power to clean him and the power to cure him. And the only question is whether the Lord Jesus was willing. And if you look at verse 13, there you see that Jesus, he does the unthinkable. He reaches out his hand and he touches the leper. You know, it doesn't seem perhaps overly important to us in Northern Ireland. And yet, if you take a step back and if you think for a moment, I wonder how long it had been since this leper had been touched by anyone who was not a leper. How long had it been since he was in contact with another human being? Remember, no one touched a leper. No one wanted to be contaminated. It was a dreaded disease. And yet in compassion and in love, the Lord Jesus, he reaches out his hand and he touches the man. If you like, he declares his willingness to address his hopeless condition. And of course, as the drama unfolds, this leper is immediately healed. Now, there's more to this amazing story, but I want us to leave it there. Because the question we're asking tonight is, what is involved in becoming a Christian? And as I thought of that question recently, and the story of the leper, I find it helpful to hang my thoughts, if you like, on three words. The first one is condition. The second word is compassion. And the third word is cure. So let us consider the first. What does the Bible say about the condition of men and women? You know, the cleansing of the leper, it's a wonderful illustration of the spiritual cleansing that the Lord Jesus himself provides. Not only in the New Testament, but if you were to go to the Old Testament, leprosy is one of those clear pictures of the predicament of men and women as sinners. Because, you know, like the leper, our lives are spoilt. We do not suffer from a physical ailment like leprosy, but rather we suffer from the leprosy of sin, a leprosy that has spoilt our souls. The Bible tells us, and you all know the story, that when God made the world, he put Adam and Eve into a garden, and he said that it was good. No disappointments, no unhappiness. Nothing wrong at all. It was good. It was perfect. And yet it didn't stay that way, did it? Because the man and the woman that God had put in the garden decided to disobey God. They decided to go their own way rather than to put their trust in him. They wanted to decipher for themselves what was right and what was wrong, and they didn't want to pay attention to what God had told them to do. And of course, the consequences of their great self-centered decision in that garden were absolutely devastating. Remember how God told them that if you disobey me, if you eat of this tree, then on that day you will surely die. Of course, they didn't die physically. Because if you know the story, they went on to have children of their own and they lived for many, many years. And yet the Lord Jesus tells us that on that day they died spiritually. It's as if there was a spiritual death, the closing down of the communion between a holy God and his creation. If you like, in that moment, in that garden, life was robbed of its wholeness, of its completeness, and of its perfection. And since that day, every human being shares in the corruption and in the guilt of Adam and Eve. You know, each of us are born with an inherent bias towards sin. Every one of us is a sinner. In the same sinking ship, if you like, as Adam and Eve. And every day we're confronted by it. You only have to perhaps look at children and see their rebellious hearts. To look at yourself and to see your dishonesty, your jealousy, your fear, your resentment, your disappointments, your regrets, your pride, and all of these things, they plague men and women, and they spoil our lives. And they remind us day and daily of the great problem that each of us has, the problem of sin. I'm sure no one here tonight would disagree with the predicament. Any sensible man or woman or young person who lives their life in the 21st century, who maybe listens to the radio or watches the television news broadcast, would recognize that there has to be a problem. With all the advances of technology and all the progress that humanity has made, the world today is still ravished by epidemic after epidemic that is directly related to man's inhumanity to man. We're at war with one another, at war in our homes and with ourselves. And why is this? Well, if you read the Bible tells us clearly that the reason for all of these things is the problem of sin. Sin. You know, it's not an intellectual problem. Because no matter how smart you are, no matter your status in life, whether you were high-born or low-born or whatever the rest, you know, we are all, the Bible says, all just miserable old sinners. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? In fact, it sounds pretty bleak. And yet the Bible tells us that that is the description of our condition. Alienated from God. Justly deserving the judgment of God. So much so that God has decreed that sin must and will be punished. And you know, the gravity of our condition is such that just like this leper, you know, we are unable to rectify our circumstances ourselves. This man, he threw himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He begged him. And if you like, he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, I am, be thou clean. And so we can move from the condition to the compassion. Because the Lord Jesus here, as he meets this man, is filled with compassion. You know, there are many instances in the Bible, we could number them. As the Lord Jesus, on one occasion, looks on the crowd milling around, and the gospel writer records for us that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he was filled with compassion. Why? Because they looked like a sheep without a shepherd. As he sees the crowd and as he sees this leper, his heart is filled with compassion, and he goes and he addresses our most basic need in life. Alienated from God, what do we need? We need reconciliation. Stained by sin, what do we need? We need forgiveness. And surely in the 21st century, this issue, the issue of sin, it's so often put to the margins, put to the side. So often it's put to a compartment and we say, well, we'll think about it later. But for now, we'll get down to the real issues of life. Sure, there are so many poor people in the world. There are so many things that need to be addressed. There are so many problems that need to be rectified. And of course there are. And yet, you know, is that not the great lie in and of itself? You know, we don't have time to go into it, but if you were to go to the next story, it's a remarkable story of four men. They bring their friend on a stretcher. They lower him down out of the roof, and this paralyzed man, he meets the Lord Jesus. And what does the Lord Jesus say to that man? He says, "Your sins are forgiven." You know, the average person would probably say, "Well, what possible good is that? Sure, I'm a paralytic. Heal me. I came to get healed. I came on a bed. I want my legs back." What are you talking about, your sins being forgiven? The Lord Jesus, what does he say? He says, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to take up your bed and walk? Of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Because when you say, get up and walk, you're putting your word on the line. And if he doesn't get up and walk, well then you're sunk. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says to those Pharisees, in order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to that paralyzed man, he said, take up your bed and walk. What is the issue? Is the issue not the forgiveness of sins? And I'm sure if that paralyzed man could come back to Lisburn tonight, and if he could stand here in this pulpit, and if he could address each and every one of us, I'm sure that he would say, you know, that he would have been prepared to remain paralyzed, but go to heaven forgiven, and to have his legs back, and to go to hell unforgiven. Because you know the condition, or the condition that confronted him was his alienation from God, his sinful heart, which demanded a forgiveness that he himself couldn't provide. And you know what is true of him? I believe is true of the leper. And it's true of you, and it's true of me. That's why the Christian message, the gospel message, is so compelling. Remember what the Lord, what Paul said, that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter takes up the theme in 1 Peter 3. He says, for Christ also suffered once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. In other words, if our condition is alienation from God, what compassion on the part of God to provide his Son as a way of reconciliation and as a way of forgiveness. We all need a reconciler. We cannot reconcile ourselves no more than this leper could sit down and pick away his scabs and hope to see his life transformed. And Joe, the Apostle Paul, addresses this great theme when he says, all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And Joe, we ask ourselves, how can this possibly be? And the answer comes in that phenomenal verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, for he have made him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, the Lord Jesus was sinless. And because he was sinless, he could take our sins, your sins and mine. And surely the gospel is the story of this great exchange, an exchange that takes place at the cross, where the Lord Jesus takes our place bears our wrath, takes our sin, in order that we might receive the righteousness which none of us deserve. Do I think, you know, whenever we think of the Lord Jesus, only when we think of Him taking our sin, it's only then that we can truly make sense of His death as an example of self-sacrificial love. You know, the Lord Jesus, He reached out and He touched the leper. That in itself is amazing. It's as if the Lord Jesus is saying to the leper, it's as if He's saying, you know, I am prepared to become like you, a man under judgment, in order that you might become like me in all of the freedom and the forgiveness that I provide. And you know, the hymn writers down through the centuries, even to our contemporary hymn writers today, at their very best, they never deviate from this great fact. We often sing it, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned He stood. Seal my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You know, our condition, the sin condition, it's irreversible. Unless someone comes from the outside to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And if the Lord did not come, then I am lost. I am enslaved. I'm dead. I'm pretty much finished. And yet the good news tonight is this, that at just the right moment, when we had no way of escape, the Lord Jesus comes. Joey came for me, and He came for each and every one of you. The condition, the compassion of our Savior. Time is almost gone. A word or two, just as we close, about the cure. You see, for a cure to be effected, there must be a response. There must be a response. In the case of the leper, the mere knowledge of the Lord Jesus' ability to cure him, it wasn't enough. And for us, the mere knowledge of the Lord Jesus' ability to save, it just isn't the same as saving faith. And if you like to become a Christian, trusting in what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross as our only basis of acceptance, it demands a response. A response in your heart. If you like, it contains three elements. One, acknowledging that I am absolutely helpless and that I cannot rely on any righteousness of my own. You know, you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot do things that will work your way into heaven. We need to acknowledge that without God, without Him, we're absolutely helpless. Two, believing that the Lord Jesus has died and has provided the very gift of righteousness that I just admitted that I need. And if you like, three, that on the strength of that, I must cast myself upon His mercy. We sing it, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. No time is gone, but can I address one final question? Perhaps it's in the mind of some of you. There has to be an acknowledgement of my helplessness. My belief in Jesus as the only person who can save me, my casting of myself upon him. Perhaps you ask, how can that possibly be done? If we have understood our condition, that we're lost, enslaved, and pretty much dead, how can we actually come to saving faith? You know, someone perhaps will say, if there's going to be a Christian experience, it's going to have to take a miracle. And you know, I think that they're exactly right. As God works within your heart, through His Word, by His Spirit, as He convicts of sin and brings you through to faith and trust in Him. Is that not what the Lord Jesus said to the religious man, Nicodemus? As Jesus says, you know, you must be born again. Nicodemus is so caught up, he doesn't understand it. He says, how can this be? Can I go back into my mother's womb a second time? And the Lord Jesus says, you know, no, we're not talking in those terms. And he pretty much says, you know, the new birth is brought about as a miracle of God. There's an old chorus sometimes, I heard it years ago whenever I was only a kid. It went like this. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul and cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. You know, the salvation that the Lord Jesus offers to you tonight, he offers and he provides completely, because there is no sin too shameful or too far gone that he cannot cleanse. The salvation that he offers permanently. The salvation that he offers unconditionally, because none of us can make ourselves worthy of his great forgiveness. You know, this leper was full of leprosy. If you like, it's a description of our lost cause. No amount of plucking at his scabs could ever take away the leper's problem. And you know, maybe that's how you are tonight. A great sinner. The very thought of it is loathsome in your mind. And yet the Lord Jesus says that if you come to me, if you fall like the leper on your knees, and if you cry, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The Bible tells us that if you call upon him, just like he said to the leper, he will turn to you and he will say, you know, friend, I'm willing to make you clean. And you know, dear friend, tonight in Lisburn, the Lord Jesus is still willing. He's still in the business of saving precious souls. And you know, he can save you tonight if, like that leper, you would only call upon him. Admit your sinfulness. Admit that he is the only one who can provide that righteousness that you need, and simply cast yourself upon his great mercy. May God bless his word.